Psalm chapter 7, been reading in verse number 11, or Psalm 27. Psalm 27 verse 11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity you have given us this day, Lord, the freedom that we enjoy to gather around Lord, your word and just enjoy fellowship with one another, Lord. We just pray that you would bless us this morning. Just open up your word to us. Just meet our needs and strengthen us, Lord, for whatever may be ahead in the days to come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In life, there is many times that we spend a lot of time waiting. That if you think of this week, you can probably think, well, how much time did I actually spend waiting? Whether it was waiting in line at a store, whether it was waiting for the light to change, waiting for a phone not to be busy so that you could get through. There's so many other things we do, and especially, I know, any time you deal with a government organization, government agency, it's amazing how much time that you find that you have to spend waiting sometimes. And it can be a source of frustration. It can be something that we can grow impatient. We see that our time is short. There is much to be done. But we see in the Scriptures this principle, not only here, but throughout the Scriptures, of waiting upon the Lord. And it's the idea of waiting for Him for a solution to a problem that we can't solve ourselves, where we pray, that we wait for an answer. And sometimes we actually find that when the Lord gives us an answer, the answer is to wait. And that's not what we necessarily want to hear. And because we're kind of in that mindset that we have much to do, that sometimes we have a tendency even to grow impatient with God. And we want to learn the truth of this principle and apply it to our lives. First thing we want to ask ourselves, when it says to wait on the Lord, does that mean that God is late? And of course we know that He is not late. He is never late. He is always exactly on time. That it's something we need to set our watches to His and not the other way around. And the problem that we have, and especially in our society today, being so busy, we have almost a drive-through mentality when it comes to everything, even our prayer and our time with the Lord, that we say, well, Lord, I need this today. I need grace. I need patience. I need you to help me out of this problem, and I need you to do that immediately. And when it doesn't come right away, we wonder, well, what's wrong? Why is God not hearing my prayers? What is the problem? Is there a faulty connection up in heaven or something like that? But we realize that when the Lord makes us wait, He does it for a reason. We wonder, well, why does God make us wait? And because He knows our time, He knows how short our lives are. You'd think that He would kind of help us that way, that He would make sure things come really fast so that we don't have to wait, so that our time is used better. But we see that He has His purposes in it, and there's many things that He has to teach us when we wait. And those times are sometimes the best times of teaching, times of testing, times of questioning, where we realize, we seek the Lord, and we make sense of it all. And when we wait upon the Lord, when God makes us wait, we see one reason is to get us to confront and deal with our pride. And it's sometimes we have a tendency that we look at ourselves and what we're doing as being the most important thing that's going on. That it is central, and that God needs to help us with that. And we realize that He loves us, He cares for us, He knows our need even before we recognize it. But when He makes us wait, it isn't that He doesn't care. It's something that though we have to realize that God is not at our beck and call, that we are at His, that He is the Master, that we are a servant, that He is the Father and we are His children. It's just as with any kind of infant. I know with each of my children growing up that there's different times, and there's still times that come up where, say, if they want to be picked up and you can't pick them up right away, or they want to be fed and they can't be fed right away, that it's a crisis, that they make a big ruckus, they make you know that they are at the center, they think that they're the center of the universe, and that you need to drop everything for them. And it's, of course, something that as a child, that a child needs to learn that patience, needs to learn the ability to wait, and that to put things in. And that's something that as Christians, that we need to learn that patience as well. And we see this in Psalm 131, verses 1 to 3, if you could turn there with me. Psalm 131. Psalm 131, it says, verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. That a child that learns not to fuss, that learns to be patient for their parents, that it's that principle that we are, that we wait upon the Lord, and that we trust in Him, that we don't have to worry about these different things, that we just trust that the Lord's going to work them out. We see this principle also in Proverbs chapter 27, if you turn there with me. This is a principle in Proverbs 27. It says, Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And it's something kind of a picture that we need to change, that sometimes when we're waiting on the Lord, that we have this idea that we're tapping our feet, we're looking at our watch, we're wondering why God is taking so long. But we need to change it around when it's the idea of waiting upon the Lord, to think of a servant for their master. That you could think of someone that has a butler at their side, that the butler just stands there and he waits there and he waits there. He just has to stand there until he's needed, and then he has to go do something. And it is the idea that he is the master, we are his servant, and that we are to minister to Him, that it is not something that He is at our beck and call, but we are at His. And we need to realize that He knows our needs. He's not going to let us down, but it's something that we have to realize that He's the one that's in charge. It's the same as with children, that they have to get to that point where they realize that they're not the boss. Of course, sometimes they need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that as adults as well. So we see that. And secondly, the Lord makes us wait to teach us patience. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that God wants to work into our hearts, into our lives. And we realize that we need it, but our prayer sometimes is, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. That we have to have it. But we realize that the Lord knows that in order to teach us patience, He has to train us. He has to help us through it. And He brings things into our lives so that we would learn to be patient. That if we're never tested, then we're never going to learn to be patient. If you turn with me to James chapter 1, verses James chapter 1. And verse 2 of James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." That the Lord wants us to have that patience, to allow it to work in us, that it'll be helpful. We understand that it takes time to bring forth fruit, that someone that plants seed in the spring doesn't get it right away, that there's the whole seasons of spring and summer and fall that they have to contend with, that you may get, just as we had, you have sometimes where it's very dry, sometimes where it's very wet, sometimes where it freezes sooner than you expect, and it's always that you have to be patient, that you have to go through certain things, and you just trust that in the end that there will be fruit from it. And we learn that it says in Galatians 6 verse 9 that let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That if we're doing right, that we need to be patient in that. That so often what can happen that we can do things, we can try to minister to others, we can try to share the gospel with someone, we don't see any fruit, but it isn't something that we should give up, that we still try, we still try to minister to that person, try to be a friend to them, try to share the gospel as we have opportunity, and trust that the Lord can bring that person to know Him, to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. And we realize that we have to be patient with people. Because each of us, we have our own idiosyncrasies, our own problems. Sometimes we have our own stubbornness, things that we just sort of, they're clear to everyone else that they need to be fixed, but we don't see them at all. There's always things like that. And the Lord tells us to be patient to all men, to minister to them, because we realize how patient the Lord is with us. Of how the things that He puts up with, things that we struggle with, that really He could say, well, you should have dealt with this a long time ago, that He is merciful to us, He's compassionate. And we see that we need to be patient. It says in Hebrews 10:36, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise." And that's the thought, that if we're patient, if we continue on, then there's going to be a reward in the end. There's going to be a blessing that we've passed the test. God is honored, and we will receive the promise. But if we fail to be patient, if we rush ahead, then we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. We think of Saul in 1 Samuel 13, if you turn there with me. 1 Samuel chapter 13. This was when the Philistines were invading and the people were all frightened. And it says in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 13, "He tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, and he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And we see how sad that is with Saul, that if he just would have waited just another 20 minutes, he wouldn't have been in the strait that he was, that he needed it so bad that he gave himself over to that. And it was he missed out so much just because he was impatient. And so we need to realize that this is something that we need, and the Lord's trying to teach us, and that's why we learn to wait upon the Lord. Thirdly, we see it's to increase our faith, that things are easy when everything goes right, everything falls into place, that you don't have to fight about anything. But when things are difficult, when things don't go the way we expect they are, that's when our faith is challenged. That's when our faith needs to be strengthened, is what the Lord hopes would happen. He wants us to trust Him and to rest upon Him, and to not be looking at the circumstances, but to look to Him, that our hope would be in Him. That we don't panic, that things aren't quite right, that we don't fuss, that we just realize, well, He knows what the situation is. He's going to come through in the end. He always does. And we think that was a problem with the children of Israel in their wilderness, that they're going along, and as soon as something happened, then they started to complain. They started to say, well, what have you done? Lord, you've sent us out in the wilderness where there's no food, there's no water, and the Lord always gave them what they needed, that He never suffered them to suffer hunger, that they were always looked after. And so we need to have that sense that we trust in the Lord. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 37, we see this as well. Psalm 37, especially when we're dealing with opposition, when we're dealing with difficult things, it is something that we need to trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And that's the thought that we have to have, is to trust in the Lord, to not to fret, not to think, well, what am I going to do about this? That we trust in the Lord, that He's going to work it out in the end, that He's going to bring it about far beyond anything we could expect. And so we see that God makes us to wait, to get us to deal with our pride, to teach us patience, to increase our faith. And we also understand that He does it so that we would acknowledge how much we need Him. That so often we want to do something for the Lord, and we rush ahead on our own, in our own self-will, in our own strength, and we find that we don't get anywhere. That it doesn't accomplish anything. And we understand that if God's not part of something, it won't get anywhere. That His blessing has to be upon it. That and that's the thought, that we need Him. That it's sort of the idea that, well, He's not answering, so I'm going to step ahead and do it. Well, if we do that, we're not going to get anything anywhere, and we should have waited for Him anyways, because now not only is He going to do His work in His time, but then He has to kind of fix the mess that we made before we waited for Him. And so it is something that we have to learn, that that we wait for Him, that we need Him in so many different ways. We understand that we need Him for guidance and for strength. That when we're trying to decide what to do, we have many decisions to make through our life. Some are rather insignificant, but some are life-changing. And we want to know what path to take, what decision to make, what to say, when to say it. that we need His guidance, we need His peace, we need His understanding. And it's something also that we need His strength, His power, His enabling, that with the responsibilities that we have, we need to be able to endure. We need His help. We see this principle in Isaiah chapter 40. If you turn there with me, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And that's so often we can try to rely upon our own strength, our own stamina. And I know even myself that I'm not old yet, I don't think. I still have some youth to me, but I know with many things that it can be tiring on the body and on the mind, but it's something that we learn that if we wait upon the Lord, that He can strengthen us, He can enable us to do what we weren't able when we're at our weakest, when we're at our end, that as we pray to Him, that He can strengthen us, He can give us exactly what we need to make it through the day, whatever difficulty it might be, that He can give us the grace for it, that His grace will always be sufficient. And we understand that specifically, this idea of strength and empowerment, of guiding, of being with us, occurs when we seek to be witnesses for Him, that we realize that for us to try to go to someone and try to convince them of their sin and get them to be saved on our own, we know that we can't do that. We sow the seed, but God gives the increase. And we need His power. We need the Holy Spirit working and blessing our efforts. And we need that. And that's why we see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 that Jesus told the disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye have heard of me. That the thought that even though they were given the great commission, that the Lord said, "I want you to tarry until you're endued with power from on high." And He told them that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the thought that we know that we need His power. Once we have His power, then we are able to be witnesses for Him. And so we wait upon Him, that we pray that it's something, if we have a heart for someone, that we spend much time in prayer and we prepare ourselves in that way, that we know that the Lord's with us, and so then when we can go forward and meet them, that the Lord's going to bless. The Lord's going to work it out. We also understand that we need to wait for the Lord for deliverance and for vindication. That there's many things that we go through, many trials, and when we're in the midst of them, it can seem like there's no hope. That when we get to the other side, we realize, well, the Lord helped me through it, the Lord didn't abandon me. But there's sometimes when we're in trouble that it just we want to give up, we want to give in, but we need to realize that we need to hold on, that we need to wait upon the Lord, that He knows what's going on, He hasn't abandoned us, that it is something that everything is under control, and we need to trust Him. It says in Psalm 123, verse 2, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." And that's what we are to do, that we wait upon Him, that we go through difficult times, and we just trust that the Lord will come through for us, that He always will in time. And There can be different times in our Christian life that we suffer tribulation and trial, that we're mistreated, we're slandered, that we seek to do right, but our good is evil spoken of. And there's such a desire to fight for our rights, to say this isn't right, to defend ourselves, to seek retribution, to seek recompense, that this person wronged me and I need to set it right. But we need to learn to wait upon the Lord that He would do it in His time, because we know that He can do a much better job of settling scores than we ever could. We see in Proverbs 20 and verse 22, it says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." That when someone does us wrong, that we're not to return evil for evil. We're to recognize that vengeance belongs to the Lord, that He will repay in His time. That someone has said, "The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine." That any attempt that we can have to try to bring justice or revenge to our cause will be to the harm of ourselves and to the harm of the cause of Christ. But when we give it in the Lord's hands, we wait upon the Lord, that it is something we can find 5 or 10 years down the road where we realize what the Lord has done, that He's solved the problem, that He's vindicated us, and that we didn't need to do it ourselves, that He stood up for us on our behalf. And it is such a blessing to see that. And we see it in Lamentations chapter 3, if you turn there with me, Lamentations of Jeremiah chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." That is a good thing for us to do, to wait on the Lord. That it is something that we can have the understanding that He is going to come through, that we can be absolutely sure that we will never be ashamed for waiting on Him. That He is not going to let us down. That He made that very clear throughout the Scriptures, that none would be ashamed for waiting upon Him. We see this in Isaiah 49, verse 22 and 23. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me." And that's something that we can be sure of. Even though we have a tendency in our heart to panic, to want to fix it ourselves, to rush in, where we realize we can't really solve anything anyways, we realize that if we wait upon the Lord, we will not be ashamed. And we will understand as well that God will make sure that it will be well worth the wait, that He comes through for us in that way. And you can think of the time when just after Jesus was born, that He went into the temple. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, it's probably better to read the story rather than just have me relay it. Luke chapter 2, how there was this man there in the temple whose name was Simeon. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And you think of this man, Simeon, that he was faithful, that he was waiting. Lord had told him that the Messiah would come in his day. And you can think of it every day that he would go to the temple and he would see there'd be babies being dedicated. He'd wonder, well, is this the person? Is this the child? Is this the Christ child? And he'd do that every day. And how long he would have had to wait. But then when it finally came, what a blessing it was. I remember a painting I saw in a Christian bookstore one time of the picture where it was Simeon, this old man holding this little baby, and he was crying just how wonderful it was that the Lord had made it happen. And that is something that we can be sure of, that it is worth the wait when we wait upon the Lord. It says in Isaiah 64, verse 4, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." That we know the saying that good things come to those who wait, and that comes so true with the things of God, that when we wait upon him, that we wait for him to produce fruit, we wait for him to vindicate us, we wait for him to guide us and strengthen us, that it will be worth it, that we will be so thankful for it. And so it is something that we realize, that waiting upon the Lord is something we are called upon to do by the Scriptures, that it is a part of our life. It's something that it is for our good to do so, and it will be worth it in the end. And so it is something that we need to realize, that our time of waiting needs to be used to God's glory, that it's not a time to fuss or to fret, but that we stay faithful, that we follow the Lord, even though the days might seem dark, even though it seems there's no hope, that we realize that God is going to come through and we can wait for Him. It says, Psalm 37, verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." And so may we, all of us, learn this, that we would wait upon the Lord, and while we're waiting, that we would keep His way, that we would follow the Lord, that we would be faithful, that we know that He is faithful to us, that He's not going to let us down, and that we can wait upon Him to do His work in and through us, and that He will be glorified in the end, and we will be thankful that we waited upon Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again so much, Lord, that You are a faithful God, that You can be always counted upon, Lord, that we will never be ashamed in waiting upon You. We pray, Lord, that You would just bless us, help us to be patient, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves before You, Lord, and to just trust that You know everything best, Lord, that Your timing is perfect, and that Your ways are high above our ways, Lord, and You know what You're doing. Just pray that You bless us, Lord. Teach us to wait upon You. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's all stand and turn to hymn number 100 and sing Day by Day, hymn number 100.